Hi, and welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that as you listen, you will be both encouraged and challenged to step into what God has in store for you.
It's wonderful to be with you guys this weekend. We've had such a wonderful time, and it's amazing to see what God has done. Last time I came, you didn't have a balcony. How did you do that? Like, how do you build a building and then put a balcony in it? It's pretty amazing to do that. So it's wonderful to be here and see what God has done. I mean, I think the first time I came, you were about 300, and now you're like 7,000, right? Something like that. Can you believe for 7,000? Hey, listen, can you actually believe that God could save the whole city or the town or city or borough, whatever you call it here? I remember the last time I was here, I talked about thinking big and how you got to dream big and you've got to have a big mindset. Like, I'm a guy from Hamilton. Does anybody know where Hamilton is? See, when I say that, only five or six hands. When I say that in Asia, nobody knows where Hamilton is. But now I spend 8 months of my year in Asia, and I love it. I'm getting used to the food. The food's a little different. They gave me chicken feet the other day. It tastes exactly how it looks, to be honest with you. I was like, Jesus, help me. But you know, God wants us to think big, right? He wants us to believe and dream big. Come on, how many here have a big dream? Big visions that God wants to do in your life? I want to encourage you this morning. I just have a really short message, only about an hour and a half. Just a short message. I want to talk about encountering Jesus. You know, it's all about encountering Jesus, isn't it? How many have had an encounter with Jesus? Come on, every hand should go up, right? Like, if you haven't had one, hopefully today you'll have an encounter. But listen, Jesus wants to encounter us. It's not about just coming to church and standing and listening to a great guy doing a great guitar lick. It's not about that, even though they're awesome. It's about encountering Jesus. It really is. It's about encountering him and letting him touch our life in such a way that we're forever changed. I remember as a 17-year-old kid, like, I was messed up. I was messed up. I had been abused as a young man, and my whole life kind of took a trajectory into drugs and alcohol and just partying hard, listening to AC/DC. Does anybody remember AC/DC? All right, we'll pray for you later too, okay? You know, you're all thinking Highway to, you know, you know, I remember that, and I was a messed up kid, and then I just got to a point where I just said, my life is not going where I needed to be. I was a backslidden Christian, and I came back to the Lord, and it was glorious. I mean, God changed me, and it was a process. It wasn't overnight. Like, I was flunking out of high school. Actually, I failed high school, and had to kind of walk through some valleys there trying to figure out my life. But, you know, God, when he came into my life, when Jesus came in, he changed me, and then he began to speak to me, and as he was speaking to me, all of a sudden, my life began to take on meaning and purpose. Listen, your life has to take on meaning and purpose. Amen? And so let's look at some scriptures. I'm going to occasionally sit down a little bit. I hurt my back in October. I was in China, and I hurt my back. Some guy in the Taiwan airport, I went for a massage, and he shook me like a rag doll, and something happened, and I mean, literally, I couldn't walk in 2 days, and I was in China. I went to a Chinese hospital. That was an experience. I was the only white guy in the hospital, and I mean, 5 hours sitting in that hospital wondering, Jesus, am I going to get out of here? And went, saw a spine doctor, and he worked on me and put a needle in me, and that didn't help. And so I ended up flying home, and they told me it was going to take 12 weeks to get my back in shape. And God bless them, my back is better, but every once in a while I like to sit down. Matthew chapter 4, it's on the overhead. How many brought your Bible? Did anybody bring a Bible to church? This is called a Bible. It's always good to have a Bible, right? I know we got phones, so maybe take out your phones. Matthew 4, 18, it says, and he was walking by the shore of the Lake Galilee, and Jesus noticed. Would you say Jesus noticed? Jesus noticed two fishermen who were brothers. One was nicknamed Simon, later called Peter, and the other was Andrew, his brother, watching as they were casting their nets into the water. Jesus called out to them and said, come follow me. Would you say, come follow me?
Come follow
Amen. You're good. I want you, this is going to be our participation message, okay? Say, come follow me. Come follow me, and I will transform you into men who catch people for God. Immediately, say immediately. They dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. Luke 5, verse 27 says, afterward, Jesus went out and looked for a man named Matthew. He found him sitting in his tax booth, for he was a tax collector. Jesus said to him, be my disciple. Would you say, be my disciple?
Be my disciple.
And follow me. That very moment, Matthew got up, left everything behind, and followed him. Matthew wanted to throw a banquet to honor Jesus. So he invited Jesus to his home for dinner, along with many tax collectors and other notable sinners. Matthew chapter 28 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go make disciples. Did you say, go make disciples?
Go make disciples.
Go make disciples. All right. Awesome. He's there. He's with me. Praise God. I got one converted this morning. Hallelujah. All right. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, the first thing I want you to notice is that Jesus has a purpose to everything he does. He doesn't do anything just kind of haphazard. Jesus has a purpose. Look at what he says. It says in the first verse says, Jesus noticed two fishermen. He noticed them. He was watching them. He was watching what they do. Listen, Jesus is watching you. Not like the guy that's watching you to, you know, smack you when you do something wrong. He's actually watching. He's invested and he's intentional. He watches what you do. He wants to be involved in our life. Jesus notices you. Afterward, Jesus went out and looked for a man named Matthew. I want you to get this picture that Jesus was actually on a mission and he was looking specifically for Matthew. He went out looking for Matthew. Listen, God's looking for certain people. He's looking to encounter people. And God's, even today, looking to encounter you. He wants to meet you. He wants to get into your life. See, Jesus is intentional. He wants you. He notices you. And he's looking for you. Could you say he's looking for me? Hey, he's looking for you. I mean, that's a great thought. I remember as a young man, I was messed up. And I had literally at one point, one weekend, I was at Wasega Beach. I remember it very clearly. It was the long weekend in September, and I took 9 hits of acid. I'm not recommending that, but I did. I took 9 hits of acid, and I was like spaced out. I was like, I'm thinking I'm going to OD, and I remember just kind of walking, like as if there were car parks on either side. There was an aisle, and I was just walking down. I was just trying to stay awake, and just kind of, I was messed up, and I was like right here, and let's say the door was the farthest part, and there was a light. There was just one light there at the back, and I remember the Lord literally spoke to me and said, look at the light. And so I looked up, and he said, look at your life. You're like before the walking dead, I was the walking dead. I was just kind of doing this. I was just kind of walking. And I heard God speak to me, and he said, Gary, look at your life. You're walking. You're a zombie. You're just, like, I didn't know, like, now all those things are popular, but back then, I didn't know all that stuff. I just knew I was a walking zombie. And the Lord said, Gary, will you turn? Turn to me. Come to me. That's what I heard him. He said, come to the light. If you'll come to the light, I'll change your life. And so I remember going back to my friend's car, sat in the car, we're listening to AC/DC, and I turned to him and I said, he was a backslidden Pentecostal kid just like me, and I turned to him and I said, hey, Dave, one day I feel like I'm going to give my heart to Jesus. And he swore at me and said, let's smoke another joint. And we smoked another joint. But listen, it was a month later where God got a hold of me and I gave my heart to Jesus. And he encountered me, and my whole life took on a whole new meaning. Listen, Jesus is intentional. He wants to touch you. He wants to invade you. Can I hear an amen to that? Listen, second thing is Jesus wants to encounter people in their world. He noticed that they were fishermen. Jesus goes out to where people are. He doesn't expect them. Like, he doesn't expect us to come here and, you know, look our best and say, okay, now you measured up. Aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't call you to measure up? Like, you have to be perfect to come to him. He just comes out and says, hey, there's two guys fishing. I'm going to use them. Like, I'm going to use those guys. And hey, there's Matthew, the tax collector. Like, look at Matthew. He found him sitting at his tax booth, for he was a tax collector, the Bible says. Listen, Jesus comes to us. He seeks us out, and he's watching us. Jesus is always looking for opportunities to meet people where they're engaged daily. You know, people who are stuck in their sin, people who are stuck in their issues. At this stage of my life, I get to do some crazy things. I get to go into boardrooms, and I meet, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500 companies, and I get to do some amazing things, but I often will go into just like into markets, and I'll just begin to talk to people about Jesus. Listen, God wants all of us to know that he wants to engage us daily where we're at. Can I hear an amen to that? God wants to engage your friends right where they're at. He doesn't, like, yes, we need to invite them to church, but listen, they can encounter Jesus as you're on your lunch break. As you're just sitting down for lunch and they say, hey, what'd you do this week? Well, I went and heard this guy from Ontario. He was at church and God spoke. See, there's the third thing. Jesus wants to speak to people personally. Listen to what it says. He said, and he said to him, be my disciple and come follow me. You see, God calls everyone into an intimate relationship with his words because his words are spirit and life. I don't know about you, but God wants to speak to you. Come on, God wants to speak to your friends. These are the nine words. Listen, these nine words or these three phrases, they can change your life. Watch them. Come follow me. Say, come follow me. Come on, be my disciple and go and make disciples. You see, Matthew probably had a big hole in his heart, a big spot in his heart, because nobody liked a tax collector. Like, I'm one of those people. Give me my money. Don't take my taxes. I'll do what I need to do with my money because I can probably do better than what the government can do. I'm for less tax. I don't know about you, but I'm for less tax. Listen, but the tax collectors, nobody liked the tax collectors because they were Jews who were working for the Roman government. And yet, Jesus goes after the people who nobody likes, who nobody looks up to. God comes to everyone. He comes to everyone. I get to travel now extensively, and I spend about, like I said, 8 months in Asia. I was in Laos. Now, Laos is a communist country. They have three churches in Laos. Three churches. That's all they have. And they probably have some underground stuff, which they do. But they have three national churches. They're great churches, but no foreigners can speak in them or anything like that. So I'm in Laos, and I'm sitting at my hotel in the morning. We had a friend of mine from Cambodia who was originally from Hamilton. He came, and we're going to just kind of hang out with some missionaries there. And at our breakfast table this particular morning, there was a young lady about three or four tables over, and she was kind of grunting and groaning. She must have had a bad night, or maybe the food wasn't what to her liking. And I just kind of said, Lord, what's her deal? Like, talk to me, Lord, what's her deal? And the Lord spoke to me, told me what her deal was. And so I thought, well, I'm not going to bother her now because she might throw things at me and just kind of let her have her breakfast and get her a cup of coffee in the morning, you know. Some people are like that if they don't get their coffee. So I thought, you know, Vientiane is a small city. We'll probably see her. Sure enough, we saw her two or three times throughout the day, but didn't get a chance to talk to her. So at the end of the night, around 8 o'clock, our missionaries dropped us off. And so right down by the Mekong River, they have this market where you can buy like Gucci bags. And so I was buying my wife a $15 Gucci bag. It was awesome. It was the real legit thing. I'm not sure if it said Gucci or Gucci, but you know, I'm buying this Gucci bag, and I see her. I see the girl. So I say, hey, Jay, stop the girl, and because I want to talk to her. And so I bought my $15 Gucci bag. I actually got it down to $10. It was the deal of the century. Got this $10 Gucci bag. And so I walk up, and I go, hey, how you doing? My name's Gary, and this is my friend Jay. What's your name? She goes, my name's Lindsay. I said, hey, Lindsay. I said, we're pastors, and, you know, sometimes God speaks to us. Would you mind, you know, this morning I saw you at the hotel, and God spoke to me. Do you mind me telling you what he shared? And she kind of looked at me like, okay. You know, in all the time I've done this, I've never had one person say, I don't want to hear what God thinks about me. I've never had that. I've had strange looks. I've had people look at me like, okay. But I've never had somebody say, no, I don't want to hear what God thinks. So I said, hey, first thing I want you to hear is God told me he really loved you. And she put her head on my shoulder, and she started sobbing. She was kind of awkward, actually. She got tears on my Gucci bag. I was sitting there like, going, okay, awkward. And so I just said, you know, sweetheart, I just said, God really loves you. And then I just told her some of the things. I said, you're running. You're running from pain, and you're running from a broken relationship. And then she starts really crying. My Gucci bag is getting worse. And so we just kind of talked to her about her need for God and how God loved her and how Jesus wanted to encounter her. And we prayed for her. And then kind of off she went. Well, you know, that was a pretty amazing moment in Laos. But here's what I want you to see. I'm a guy from Hamilton. My buddy was from Hamilton, moved to Cambodia. He comes from Cambodia into Laos, a communist country. Lindsay is a young lady who is from San Francisco, and God brought us, all three of us, into this nation that doesn't have the gospel, and God spoke to her personally. Listen, God wants to speak to people, and God can use you to speak to people. Say, God can use me. Okay, now say it like you mean it. All right, now say it one more time just so I know you can. Oh, okay, let's do it one more time. Beautiful, beautiful. Here, listen, the next part is that Jesus wants to transform us. He wants to transform us. This is what he says. He says, come follow me and I will transform you. You know, that word change, or the word transform, has this idea. It means to change from one form to another. It's the caterpillar to the butterfly, that God wants to change us. See, Jesus wants to change you. He doesn't want you to stay as you are, and he wants to give you a new focus. I remember when Jesus came into my life, all of a sudden my focus shifted. I was no longer thinking about myself. I wasn't thinking about my problems. I began to think about what God wanted to do with my life. And all of a sudden, he set me on a mission. He set me on to do some things for him, and all of a sudden my life took on greater meaning. Listen, God wants to bring meaning, and he wants to give you mission. Listen, your church name, Gospel, is not just a great name. It's actually who you guys are called to be. You're called to be people of mission. Amen, Gary. Good point. Hallelujah. Come on, he wants you to be on mission. Every one of us. Jesus wants a full-hearted response. Listen to what they said. It says immediately. Would you say immediately? Immediately they dropped their nets and left everything behind to follow Jesus. An encounter with Jesus will always involve the giving up of something to obtain something greater. They left everything. You know, folks, when I had received in my heart, Jesus spoke to me and said, when I was 22, I was going to travel the world, and I didn't travel the world at that time. And I say, for the next 28 years, the only traveling I was doing was to the grocery store for my wife. And then in 2014, the Lord spoke to me again and said, get ready to travel. And now I've gone to 23 nations, and I literally go to some nations multiple times. Like, I've gone to Taiwan probably 6 times, 7 times, Singapore 16 times, Japan 5 or 6 times. I'm all these different nations. But you know what? It's cost me something to do that. It's cost me something. I don't get to be home at times with my friends. And I my son is about to have a grandson. I know it's going to cost me because I want to be home for my grandson. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm not trying to be a martyr here. I'm saying that God calls all of us to be willing to say, what am I willing to give up? Come on, we're on mission. We've got to be willing to give up maybe our comfort zone and just risk. Just take a step and invite somebody to church. Take a risk and say, hey, can I tell you something that God spoke to me this morning? God wants all of us to determine to give him everything. Listen, make no mistake. Jesus wants us to decide what's important and what's vital. I was in Taiwan a few months ago, but like last year I was in Taiwan, met this couple, really beautiful couple, just really a very important couple in that nation. And so the Lord, I started prophesying over this couple and they were crying. And so we, you know, kind of go on, do our thing. Then the next time we're back in the country, they invite us, my wife and I, this time they invite us to lunch at their office. And so we go into their office, beautiful office, and we sit down and her name's Renee. And I said, hey, Renee, what happened the last time we spoke? What did you think of that? She goes, oh, Gary, she says, I've listened to that, whatever that was, 40 times. I was like, okay, that's a little excessive. But she listened to it 40 times, and I said, well, tell me what you think. She goes, every time I listen to those words, I feel like I'm being healed. I said, well, that's what prophecy should do. It should bring healing to your life. And she goes, Gary, I had a dream, and it was in three parts, and I don't have the answer. Can you give me the answer? I'm like, I'm not that guy. But I said, let me try. And as soon as she said three parts, the Lord spoke to me and said, past, present, and future. That's all I got, past, present, and future. So I kind of said, well, go ahead, tell me the first part. So she tells me the first part, and I say, hey, this has to do with this. Boom, boom, boom. Outlined it, and she starts crying. She goes, yes, that's right. That's how I feel. And then she said, tell me the second part. She told me the second part, and I said, well, this has to do with your husband. And she goes, he's coming in right now. You deal with him. You tell him. And so that's every wife wants me to do that, by the way. And so her husband comes in. He's a great guy. I said, hey, Vincent. And I said, hey, your wife told me about her dream. And he goes, yeah. And I said, here's the second part of that dream. Kind of explained it. And he smiled. He goes, you're right, Gary. That's exactly right. And then I prophesied over his daughter. And his daughter's like, who are you? What planet are you from? How do you know this stuff, right? And so they end up leaving to go to another meeting. And I sit with Renee and I say, hey, Renee, you got to tell me the third part. And she goes, oh, I can't tell you the third part. I said, Renee, listen, I want you to know God said that the first part was your past, the second part is your present, and the third part is your future. Don't you want to know your future? And she goes, but I'm a Buddhist and I like being a Buddhist. So I'm like, I don't care. You can be a Buddhist. It doesn't matter. This is your future. And so we had this kind of ongoing discussion. She was crying. She goes, I don't want to tell you. I said, Renee, come on, you can tell me. It's okay. And so finally she said, it was just three words. And I said, well, this is your future. Don't you want to know your future? She goes, but Gary, it was just three words, and I like being a Buddhist. I was like, it's okay. She goes, the three words were become a Christian. God had given her a dream, and the dream was her past, her present, and her future was to become a Christian. Now, she didn't get saved that day because she had to determine, I like still be like being a Buddhist, but God had already spoken to her future. You know, right now, I just found out just a couple months ago that Renee is now in a small group, a Bible study group, learning about Jesus. And it wouldn't surprise me when I go back in May that she'll be a born-again Christian. But listen, we have to leave. We have to be willing to leave everything. And that's a big challenge for her, to want to leave what she likes the most. Here's the last part is Jesus wants us to extend his ministry or his mission. And then it said, Matthew gave him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with them. Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I have not come to call to the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Here's the point. Every follower of Jesus, how many follower of Jesus do we have here? Come on, every hand, come on. Every follower of Jesus has a circle of people. And Jesus wants to be invited into your circle so he can encounter your friends. Matthew had a circle. Come on, what's your circle? What's your circle? Who are the people around you? Now listen, if your circle only involves your family and your friends who are all Christians, you need to add more people into your circle. Amen, Gary. Good point. Come on. You need to add more people. Like, even if you don't have any people in your circle who are unsaved, then go invite people into your circle. Because it's in your circle that Jesus wants to encounter people. God wants to encounter people. Every follower of Jesus has a circle of people. What's your circle, guys? See, my circle has gotten bigger over the years. Now I'm doing some things that are crazy with unsaved business people and unsaved. Like, my wife and I were going to Singapore in April, and we get to meet, have lunch with the ambassador of Canada and the ambassador of Israel to Singapore with the ambassador of Slovakia. They don't know what's going to hit them. I'm serious, because I'm bringing Jesus into that circle. And we're going to talk. We're going to talk about Canada and how Canada is. And then I'm going to talk to them about what Jesus thinks about them. Come on, what's your circle? What's your circle? God wants you to know this, that your life matters to God. Come on, your story needs to be shared. Everyone in this room has a story. Everyone. And listen, we have an awesome privilege to help people encounter Jesus every day. Can I hear an amen to that? Amen. Come on, how many want to encounter Jesus? But how many have friends who need to encounter Jesus? We all have friends. We all have people. I want to read you a story. In January of 2018, I was in a church in Chicago, and the pastor said to me, he said, Gary, would you kind of preach a little message and then just run through the congregation prophesying over people? So I said, sure. So I came to this young man, and I prophesied over him. And just as soon as I started prophesying, he started crying. And so, prophesied and then went to somebody else. He hit me up on Instagram that day, and this is what he said. He said, hi, my name's Gil. I met you today at CLC Tinley Park at the 12 p.m. service. You came up to me, and you gave me a prophecy. I lost it when the first thing you told me was that God loves me very much. Let's wait on that. Okay. He said, I lost it when the first thing you told me that God loves me very much. As you were right, he said, for some reason that felt so assuring. Did you catch that? All I said was God loved him. And something within that word, God loves him, he said he felt so reassured. Felt so reassured. And he said this. He said, I felt real so reassured. For some reason, and he said, you're also right when you said you feel like I'm new to the church. It was actually my first time to CLC today. In fact, he said, I'm not a member. And also, it was my first time to attend a Christian church service. You know what came to my mind? The scripture in Corinthians where it says, when you prophesy and an unbeliever hears the secrets of their heart, they will turn and worship God. They'll turn and worship God. So then he goes, you also told me that this year everything will make sense after all that had happened to me. He said, I was stunned by your words because first, you have no idea who I am and what I've been going through, and yet you were able to touch my heart deeply. I felt like God sent you to me to give me reassurance that I just have to trust him no matter what. I couldn't hold back my tears the whole day just thinking how amazing God is to have given me this opportunity. So then in October, Gil wrote me back, and he said, hey, January this year, you came to CLC Tinley Park as a guest speaker. You gave me a prophecy, and I'll never forget. Since then, I have searched for the truth, and today I made the decision to offer my life to the Lord. You can put it up now. He says, I got baptized and made a lifetime commitment to my Savior. Come on. Listen. That's the mission. That's why we encounter Jesus right there. It's some guy, random guy, first time in church. Some guy from Canada just speaks a word over him, and all of a sudden his life is changed. Listen, you might be sitting over here today, but God prompts you to say, go and say hi to that person. And it's their first time at church today. But because you connected to them, all of a sudden they start becoming part of a community of faith. Their life begins to change. And they become one of hundreds of people who get water baptized. Come on, we're on mission. Listen, Jesus wants to encounter you. And listen, multiplication only comes one after one after one. It's every one of you encountering Jesus and then you being used by God to make disciples. Come on, can I hear an amen? Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? And I wanna just pray for everybody in this building. I wanna pray that God would speak to you and that this would be an amazing time. Guys, if you could just turn the lights up just a little bit because I got bad eyes and I know there's a whole thing here, but just, I like to see people. So every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to give anybody here an opportunity. We do this every week, wherever we go. This year we've seen over 90 people get saved through just doing this simple act. If you're here today and you've never encountered Jesus, you've never invited Jesus into your life, or listen, maybe as a kid you came to church and maybe you got saved then, but it never really brought into your life. And you'd say, I'm a prodigal. I need to get Jesus in my heart again. I came to church as a young age, but I never really served God. I need to do that. I need to open my heart. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, would you just quickly put up your hand? Just by faith, by boldness, come on, put up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. Nice and high so I can see, just so I can see. Nice and high. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Thank you. I see that in the balcony. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Come on, this isn't a moment. This is a time where God, thank you. I see the hand at the back. I'll give you another 30 seconds. All over the building, the Holy Spirit speaking. Thank you very much. Come on, maybe you've been away from God. You're just coming to church, but you don't have a relationship. God wants to give you a fresh start. So those who raised your hand, I'm going to ask everybody to pray this prayer, but those who raised your hand, I'm going to pray a prayer. Hopefully, it won't be exactly how you would pray, but we're going to ask Jesus to come into our heart. I'm going to ask the whole congregation to join me. And what I'm going to do is we're going to pray this prayer. And right after service, I'm not going to embarrass you, but right as you go out the doors, there's what's called the prayer room. And there's people in there that want to help you. They want to give you some material. They want to pray with you. And they want to help you take the next steps in following Jesus. So everybody, let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Come into my heart and change me, transform me. Lord, teach me to follow you with all of my heart. Lord, today, I choose to follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord praise on that. Amen. Amen. Listen, you who put your hand up, again, I just want to encourage you, go back to the prayer room. There'll be people there waiting for you. Hey, listen, I want to finish just this with this one thought. Is how many have encountered Jesus? How many would say, I want to be an instrument that can help people encounter Jesus? Come on, everybody. We're on mission, right? So would you stand to your feet, and I'm just going to pray a prayer, and we're just going to believe that this week, is going to be a fantastic week. It's going to be a week where not only you will encounter Jesus again, but listen, there's going to be a team of people on mission to see people encounter Jesus. That God would speak through you, just as he spoke through all these people, to all these people. God can do it through you. Amen? So, Father, we just pray for every person here, every believer. Lord, we just pray, put on our hearts mission. Put on our hearts people right now who we want to go back to and just talk to them about God and how God loves them and how Jesus is the answer. Lord, we pray that you would stir our hearts, stir our faith, stir our spirit to believe you for miracles this week, people to get saved, just like Gil. Lord, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for joining us on the GMC podcast. For more info about what's going on this week, check out gmchurch.ca. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful week.